You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
We're lucky to have RX Destroyer sponsoring the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Destroyer ready-to-use chemical drug disposal systems are safe, easy, and affordable products which meet the 2014 DEA drug disposal ruling. If you'd like more information on products, training, and medication waste compliance, check out www.rxdestroyer.com/pharmacypodcastnetwork.
Welcome to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Non-Traditional Pharmacist provides the pharmacist professional ideas to help you think outside the box. Pharmacy is evolving fast, and this podcast is all about the evolution of the pharmacist role in healthcare. And now, here is the Non-Traditional Pharmacist team, Lynn, Matt, and Nick.
Matt Paterini here with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We have Nabil Qureshi on the show today. Really excited for him as a guest because he is an MSL Medical Science Liaison for Novo Nordisk in managed markets. And I think part of our community in the Non-Traditional Pharmacist is very hungry for more industry-focused interviews, more in-depth options that might be available to pharmacists either graduating now or looking to make a career change in industry. So excited to have you on the show, Nabil. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Excellent. So let's get started with kind of the first question. We kind of like to kick off our interviews with an overview of your current role. It's a non-traditional role, medical science liaison. I think a lot of people have heard about it and maybe know some bits and pieces, and I know it can vary to some degree. So if you could just describe your current role, description of day-to-day responsibilities, and what you do from a day-to-day basis.
Sure, yeah. So as you just pointed out, your audience may already be familiar with the traditional MSL role. So traditionally, a medical science liaison calls on physicians and hospitals and key opinion leaders to provide them with the most current scientific evidence around a particular disease state, talk about the drug pipeline for their company and their competitors' companies, talk about their products, on-label information, off-label information, answer medical information questions at a level that, you know, a practicing clinician may not be well-versed in their day-to-day practice. That's sort of the traditional MSL role. So that's really what my role is. What's different about being a managed markets ML, a medical liaison, is that instead of a physician or a hospital or KOL being my typical customer, my customer is really payers, so managed care organizations, and employer groups. So we refer to that collectively as being market access. And so I'm meeting day-to-day with health plans, with employers, with associations to provide clinicians and non-clinicians with that most current clinical evidence and information around our disease states and products.
Got it. Good overview. Yeah, so a little bit different maybe than some of the other MSL roles. And I mean, I think everyone would be curious to know, you know, how the heck did you get into MSL in the first place? What's your story through, I guess we'll start with pharmacy school and then what you did either there shortly after and how you got to where you are today?
Sure, yeah. So my story starts maybe a little bit before pharmacy school. So I was actually, I never wanted to be a pharmacist. I didn't know any pharmacists. I had no interest in it. I didn't know anything about it. I was actually pursuing a career in epidemiology. I liked math, I liked biology, and epidemiology was kind of a good intersection of the two. And so I was working in epi at a severe cancer site, so surveillance for epidemiology. And I was doing an MPH degree. And during that MPH degree, I learned about non-traditional pharmacy roles and both the things that pharmacists can do outside of the four walls of a pharmacy. That piqued my interest, and so at the same time, I was kind of getting turned off to doing just research. And so I ended up applying to pharmacy school, and when I went in with the intention that I'm going to do something non-traditional with a population health focus. And so managed care was a good fit, and so I did internships during school in managed care pharmacy. I did, coming out of pharmacy school, a residency in managed care pharmacy, where you're really rotating through and learning about all sorts of different areas within a health plan. So all the different things that a pharmacist can do working at a big health plan, like fraud, waste, and abuse, and specialty pharmacy, and benefit design and account management and prior authorizations and formulary management and clinical programs and all that kind of fun stuff. During the residency, I, you know, got, amassed a lot of good experience there. I stayed on where I was doing my residency as a clinical pharmacist for about 5 years, working on various clinical programs. And then this opportunity came up where, you know, I was involved in a lot of chronic disease programs, including diabetes. And there was an opportunity that came up to work for a diabetes and obesity company. I mean, we have other products, but that's really the bulk of our business. And so really it was going to be focused on health plans. And so I would still have that managed care focus. I still go into my customers and have very much a population health discussion. But it's through that lens that I'm approaching the customer, but I'm still talking about, you know, our products and our disease state and the clinical information. And so that was kind of my transition. My career path is really started off in managed care, and now I'm on the pharma side, but still now my customer is managed care.
How much of the decision to pick this path or pursue this path was done in kind of like pre-work, where you thought, this is the type of work I want to do? I don't really know what the role is, but this is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do. So I'm going to work towards that type of job. How much of your thought process involved that?
You know, my thought process always involved really what is it that I enjoy combined with what is it that I'm good at combined with, you know, where are the opportunities? So I didn't necessarily seek out the specific managed care pharmacist role that I had for 5 years. I didn't really seek out the residency necessarily. I didn't seek out this role, but when opportunities came up, they were roles that really accentuated my strengths and my interests. And so, you know, I was never gunning in pharmacy school for a pharma job per se. That's not really what my interest was. And similarly, really for managed care, the same thing. It was more kind of just took things one step at a time and thought, hey, you know what, that really interests me, and I think I'll excel in that. And so, you know, I think I could see myself doing that. So it wasn't so premeditated in terms of like the exact career path, but more so what my interests are.
When you said opportunities that came up, were those ones that you sought out specifically, or what did you do to come in contact with those opportunities?
So with my current opportunity, I was recruited for it by the company, and then by individuals who work in the company that I happen to work with through my role in the managed care world. And managed care, you know, I did seek those opportunities out when I was in pharmacy school. I was looking into residencies. I was a little bit on the fence of whether or not to do one. Ultimately, I'm glad I did do one because, you know, I ended up getting a lot of experiences that I otherwise wouldn't have. You know, once you get into a pharmacist role, you're often pigeonholed into doing just one or two or three things. Whereas in the residency, you really get a breadth of experience. And in managed care, if you're a pharmacist, there's just so much to learn there. So, you know, I gained a lot of exposure during that process and was able to carry some of that into my career. And still, even today, when I go into my customers, I'm able to draw back on some of those experiences all the way from residency. So kind of a combination of seeking out specific opportunities, especially when I was in school. And then even when I was in my residency, you know, looking out for specific rotations or experiences or projects and then, you know, jobs. But then I guess as I evolved in my career, that some of those opportunities kind of open up on their own to some extent or organically.
So how's everything going today? I mean, do you like what you're doing? Are you excited about it every day? How does this fit in with your personal and professional life?
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's like I said, it's something that I feel like I'm good at. It's something that I enjoy. It's something where I feel like I can make an impact. You know, when I go into a customer and provide them clinical information. I can give you an example. Today I was with a customer. It was a big employer health coalition group. And, you know, they represent nearly a million lives across 34 states. And so any formulary decision that they're making on products can be quite consequential, right, to the health of thousands, and in this case, almost a million people. And so we, my company, has a new product coming out, and I was able to give them a full clinical download around that product and really kind of take information that they would have been seeking out. Some of that's not published. That would have taken them a lot of time to look into. And I was able to connect with them. They were also, you know, pharmacists by training. So I was able to connect with them clinically and you know, provide information that's going to make their life easier and you know, potentially, you know, open up this product to a lot of patients that could potentially benefit from it. And so, you know, just kind of like the feedback that you get, and it's really exciting. The other thing I like about it is, you know, there's kind of an adrenaline rush. The appointments that I'm in, they do feel to some extent like they're high stakes. Because, you know, we're providing information to a customer that's making a formulary decision for, as I said, potentially a lot of people. And ultimately, market access, getting those products on the formulary, while that isn't my job, I work with commercial colleagues, and that's really their job. Mine is to provide, you know, unbiased medical information. The fact that you can have that impact to your company is, that's also very fulfilling.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it sounds like you fill everything that you're looking for from a professional sense. How does it fit in with personal life? Everything fit where you want it to be with the balance between the two?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's it kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. I mean, some weeks, like this week in particular, you feel like you're working all the time. And especially my job, I cover a 4-state territory. And so there is, you know, a certain degree of travel that's involved. And so, you know, this is one of those weeks for sure where, you know, I think I was out, you know, almost 4 days. And so, you know, there's that downside, but it's mostly upside. Honestly, you have a lot of autonomy to some extent. You feel like, you know, you own your own business. You know, you can manage your schedule to some extent around customers, internal, external. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of personal balance that you can have in this position.
When I was going through pharmacy school, I actually was signed up for a MSL rotation, which I thought was going to be pretty cool, and I was excited to do it. Ultimately, it got canceled, and I had to do something else. But where do people go that might be interested in learning more about MSLs and the range of roles that can be included in MSL? Because a lot of people will ask us, hey, MSL sounds like something that I might be interested in. I don't know how to get experience. I don't know where to go to learn more. So what would you, how would you advise them?
Yeah, that's a great question. Are you asking about like people in school or people who are out of school or?
I guess both. Let's start with students. What about students that might be interested in industry, particularly MSL? Where would be their first step?
Yeah, so that's a tough question for me because, as I said, when I was in school, I was never really interested in it. It was something that, you know, I love doing now, but it's not something I was seeking at that time. But I think, you know, typically from what I've seen now that I'm in industry, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, people will seek out fellowships. And so a good place to start could be AMCP, the annual meeting in the spring, or the Nexus meeting in the fall. Particularly if you're interested in a managed markets MSL role, which is what I have. The other good conference I would say is Midyear. So I know we have a booth at Midyear, our company, and other companies as well. So we recruit for fellowships, and that's often a good way to break into it because you get in-house medical training, and then that you're able to leverage that to be in the field as a medical science liaison. So I'd say that those are two good places to start. I think additionally, you know, organizations like, I want to say like ISPOR and Pharma and some of those other ones, if you have a chapter in your school that, you know, you can get involved with, or even if you don't, maybe starting a chapter or going to their websites and kind of getting familiar with their meetings. I feel like meetings are always a great place to just kind of get in the know, meet people, shake some hands, hand out your business cards, gain some business cards. Have those one-on-one conversations with people because, I mean, there might be opportunities that aren't even posted that you wouldn't otherwise know of until you get out there and meet people.
What about for more experienced pharmacists that may be looking for a change? They have some detailed or some in-depth experience in one area of pharmacy, maybe looking to make a shift towards industry MSL type jobs. What would you say to them?
You know, with them, I always say kind of try to take whatever it is that you're doing and find something unique about it, find something that you can work on within that job that in some way relates to a future job. So with my last job, I mean, it very much relates to, I mean, my job now, my customers where I used to work, essentially, right? So all of my customers, there's a certain language there. And when I told them that had some credibility. And so for me, it was, you know, that was a big leg up for sure. And a lot of the people in my company and others that have been hired into this role, they come from the managed care world. But yeah, if you're looking to bring in the MSL role, like, let's just say you're interested in, you know, oncology, then obviously I think it would be beneficial if you could work in like a cancer oncology pharmacy, or if you were interested in, you know, diabetes, if you were in the AmCare space, if you were providing, you know, direct patient care to patients with diabetes, you know, that would be very beneficial, getting that clinical experience. I would say that in any MSL role that you're in, being clinically sound is very important. Because ultimately that is your value, is that you are the scientific expert around all the content in your disease and your products. And so it's really important to be able to demonstrate that, but that's kind of like just the baseline. So I'd say regardless of where you are, try and get experience that shows that, you know, yeah, you are an expert, whether it's research and publishing or taking care of patients or working on, you know, quality improvement projects or things like that.
Yeah, getting experience is so huge. Whether and experience is kind of a broad term too. I mean, experience could be discussions with, you know, experts in the industry. It could be, like you said, getting involved with projects, attending meetings. I mean, experience could really mean anything as long as it's geared towards that next direction that you want to take. What would you say, and what do you think, Nabil, is the future direction of the pharmacy profession? I mean, this is a big question. What do you think?
That's a very loaded question. Yeah. Wow. That's quite profound. The future direction of the pharmacy as a whole?
Yes.
that's a great question. I mean, I think it's going to get more clinical. It's going to get more specialized. You're going to see people in, you know, increasingly in roles in which, you know, like my role probably didn't exist to the extent that it does now. But the market's kind of demanded it. And, you know, there's a specialized language around managed care that I'm, you know, versed in. And so similarly, I would say that other roles within pharmacy, look at specialty pharmacy, people who have that kind of experience or home infusion, I think it's just going to get more and more specialized. I think automation, obviously, is something top of the line for a lot of pharmacists, robotics, and, you know, decentralization of pharmacy, and changes in legislation, which are going to, you know, advance the roles of technicians. All of that, I think, is going to change traditional retail pharmacy. Maybe take potentially pharmacists outside of, you know, from behind the counter to, you know, in front of the counter. You know, and I think that the other aspect of it is I guess I would lump it all together, pharmacoepidemiology, pharmacoeconomics, the business of pharmacy, the market dynamics around it with the cost of drugs and the cost of drug development and, you know, changes in legislation. I think that, you know, for pharmacists to become increasingly well-versed in that. I know in my last role in managed care, we worked a lot with ambulatory care pharmacists that were very interested in billing us as a payer for direct patient care services. So I think, you know, the extent to which pharmacists can be entrepreneurial like yourself and you know, branch out and really kind of sort of carve their own path, I think that's actually also going to be a big part of the future of our profession.
Well, Nabil, thanks so much for your insight, your perspective. Carve your own path. It sounds like get a lot of experience in a number of different ways, whether it's connections with other people or getting involved in special projects. Again, Nabil, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy MSL schedule. We appreciate you taking the time with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Be sure to share this podcast with your work associates, your professional network, and remember, always be thinking outside the pillbox.